bringing the word out of Galatians here soon. But first, we're going to hear from Bob and the interesting trip that he's made as a mission. And I wanted to tell you, last night I had a dream about Bob. Yeah, but both of us died, and we went to heaven. And we met St. Peter, and St. Peter said, well, we're going to give you a guide to show you around heaven and get familiar with it. So he brings this woman out, an angel, I guess, and she's really ugly. And so she grabs my arm, and we go walking around heaven to get a tour. And Bob gets his as well. Later on, I see Bob and his entourage. She is gorgeous. And so when we ran into St. Peter again, I said, St. Peter, why did I get this ugly woman on my arm? He said, my son, you must pay for your sins. So I said, well, I guess I understand that, but Bob Klaus had this gorgeous woman on his arm. What gives? My son, she must pay for her sins too.
God is good. Well, I'll tell you, Jan supposedly told Rich this morning that if he falls asleep during the sermon, that's quite all right. We got home, it was about 1:45 when he dropped me off at the house. And I'll tell you what, it was really good in sticking with me, because I kept calling him and saying, we're delayed again. And so but he stuck with me. And that's the main thing that he did. He's a pastor. He's a brother. And we just love him. So I wanted to talk a little bit this morning. I could spend hours talking about the jungle, talking about Ecuador and things like that. But I thought what I'd do is kind of introduce all of you to come to the Rainforest Foundation. It was founded by Karen Duffy, who is a former professor at St. Louis Christian College, and she does reenactment of the 1860s, 1870s social thing, where the ladies are all dressed up in their traditional clothing and talk about etiquette at the ball, dancing, and things like that. She founded it 10 years ago, and it's a foundation. The reason it's a foundation is because a foundation has better reputation with governments that are not Christian than a missionary organization that is coming in to convert the people. And so that's the reason the foundation was formed. Why do we go to the jungle? Why do we take the time to go down there and live in a hut, sleep in a hammock, eat the food? If you've ever had plantain or we've got yucca here in America, in the Southwest, but anyway, they eat the root, and it's probably like eating paste. If you've ever been to Hawaii, they talk about the stuff that what's it called? Poi. It tastes like paste, but you know, who eats paste? How do you know? So anyway, the foundation goes down and works primarily in the jungle with the indigenous groups that are Rwani people. They were, in the early 50s and 60s, they were called Aka tribe. It was the ones that killed the five missionaries that died down there in Ecuador, and now there are still groups down there that are unreached. And they're running around naked, and if you go in their territory, they'll spear you and kill you. So, unfortunately, we haven't been able to get in there. I wanted to, but it just didn't happen. So, we don't want to just give money. You know, that's what our government does. That's what all these humanitarian organizations do. They just throw money out there because we got plenty of money. You know, just throw it out there, and if it lands, it's good. But what Karen has done is, now she does take money down to the rainforest. However, this is a spear. This is a kid's spear, and you throw it, and it'll kill you just as easy as the big one. And they hand-carved this. This is all hand-carved. And they decorate it with parrot feathers. And they're different sizes and different designs. And so we buy those. Well, we say, how much money is it? What's this worth? Truthfully, it's not worth much to me. But to them, this has been hours of carving and heating it over the fire to harden the wood. And so this little thing, you wouldn't think about it, is $20. That's what they want for it. Now, they set the price, not us. And so we give them $20. And that is the only way that they can make money, is through their crafts. This is another type of craft of weaving. You could use that as a hot pad on your table. And if you look at it, it's really fine. And you buy that, and that was $10 that we gave them. Now, unfortunately, my little turtle got broken. His head fell off. He lost his head over Jungle Bob, okay? Anyway, a lady makes all this little pottery stuff. Now, truthfully, it's never fired in a kiln like we do ceramics. But anyway, she worked on that, and this would have been a pencil because it's got holes in the center of it. So that's one of the areas that we minister to the people in, is to buy their crafts. Karen brings the crafts home. She advertises them on the internet, and she also, when she goes out in speaking engagements, she takes the craft with her and sells it, and everybody is real happy with that. So that's the first thing the foundation does, is we supply money to the Indians and help them with their needs. This is an Illumina Air, and it is a light. I could take the time and blow it up, but right here is a solar panel. And this light, when it's fully charged, will stay lit all night. And that's kind of important, because when you got snakes and things like that running around on the ground, you don't want to step on one, because it might be the real poisonous one, and you're gone. Supposedly, you die in 30 seconds. I don't know. Maybe Sam knew about those snakes down there when she was down there. But she lived on an Army base, or an Air Force base. I mean, you can't count that, living in the jungle. But I love her anyway. So that is one of the things that we provide them with. And just about everybody in a village will have their light. Now, truthfully, they don't take care of things, okay? They just don't take care of things. And so they will have the kids play with them and tear them up and stuff like that. But that's all right. We gave them an opportunity. Another thing that we provide is water filters. If you've been to Walmart or any of these Bed Bath & Beyond, you see these Beretta water filters where you dump the water in and it drains down through the filter and then you got clean water. Well, we do it on a large scale with a 3-gallon clear plastic bucket, two of them stacked on top of one another, and you take the river water and you dump it in the top bucket, and that water drains down, and then you got clean, pure water to drink. When we're in the jungle, we use those all the time because we don't want to get worms and whatever other crud is in the river water. So that's basically it. Let me just talk a little bit about our experience and why Rich dropped me off at my house at 12:30, 1 o'clock last night. Jan told him, was going to tell him that if he falls asleep during the sermon, you know, we'll understand. So if he does fall asleep during the sermon, you know, it's because he was up all night. And we kept in communication the whole time. It seems that Karen's husband, Jim, because the hotels were all full because of everybody was delayed and they couldn't get out, and so they were staying in hotels, and the hotels by the airport were all full. So Karen calls Jim and says, see if you can find us a hotel, okay? And so he did. He's have one of these triple star members on, you know, the rewards program and things like that with Hilton. So he got us a hotel with the Hilton. And it was only 1.6 miles from the airport. Well, he didn't take the time to really look at it because we were 16 miles from the airport. And to top it all off, we were in the of the where all the demonstrations and everything was going on. We flew up from the city of Shell into another airport, and we got there, and it was late, and the cab driver took us, and he didn't want to really take us, but he took us, and we end up at the Hilton Hotel about 8:30 at night, and the people there at the hotel are looking at us like, what are you doing here in the middle of this? And they had a demonstration in front of the hotel that day, and they threw rocks at the windows, and they had everything boarded up. So United said, this is when you can get out, and it kept getting delayed or canceled. And so we finally got out yesterday morning. And so here I am, and I thank God for that, that God watched over us, that God protected us, and we were kind of locked down in the hotel the whole time, so we couldn't go out and see anything. And so God is good all the time. Amen. Thank you, Rich.
Thanks, Bob. It's always good to hear Bob tell stories. He's just got something special about him. Let's see, I think he said last night or early this morning that he probably would never make me wait for anything again. But here we are this morning, me wanting to preach, and he's actually, I'm gonna go ahead and preach. I think I can get it in there. So thank you, Bob, for who you are. You are a great example of a giving person. And you have fun when you do it. And that's a great gift. How about it? Good. I want to begin a series. And frankly, I don't know how long it's going to go. But it's very, very important, especially in this season. I want to talk about the church, who the church is, who the church needs to be. And some of the aspects that I think we often let kind of go off to the side, we don't think about. But I want to start this morning with one of the fundamentals of our faith. One of the things that is glue-ish that keeps us together in unity. And that is the grace of God. Grace means unmerited favor. There's not one of you here this morning, including me, who deserves heaven. That's just true. Even if we'd like to think we're that good. Reality says we are all sinners. We have fallen short of the glory of God, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. We're still eating from the same tree. So we are alienated from God, and God's plan over the centuries was leading up to sending his own son. The incarnation is a majestic teaching. We're not going to get into it right now, but the aspects and the details of the fact that God himself, number one, he's Father, Son, and Spirit. Who knows how to do that? But he gave his only son. And he put it in the language that we would understand, as if we gave our son so that we would understand. But it was a sacrifice. It was love enacted. God said to you, to me, to every human being, even in the Old Testament, because this is all retroactive by faith, he said, I love you. And I want you to be with me forever. I want you to have a life of fulfillment and meaning. So I'm sending my son. And what he will do is he will die for you. You deserve death because you're a sinner. That's clear in Scripture. We don't even like that, like to think about that. But it's a reality. We deserve to die eternally for our sins. God says, I don't want you to. I sent my son, and if you will trust him, if you'll side with him, if you'll give your life to me through him, I'll save you. And I'll give you an abundant life here and now as well. And we're partakers of that, thank the Lord. Amen? Amen. So being the church, I want to talk about the fundamentals and the fundamental of grace. It's easy to drift away from who we are, you know, the church that God intends us to be, a conglomerate of loved people who are saved through the blood of Christ. I want to look at Galatians in the first chapter, a couple of things there. So if you've got a Bible, turn to it, and if not, listen carefully while I read, because this is very, very important and often glossed over. I'm going to read the first 9 verses of this letter that Paul writes to a brand, well, not a brand new church, but a church that's not very old that he was involved in planting in Galatia. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. When he says churches, that means there are small groups of Christians in the town. Not all of them knew one another, but they were meeting together in what we now know as church, fellowship, called out people meeting together, ecclesia. Grace and peace to you, he writes, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. I am astonished. Now, here's Paul, who usually goes on for a chapter or so, to, you know, lauding the people he's writing to, you know, just a real good spirit and friendly, and just championing them and all that they are and they do, but not Galatia. Quickly, he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ. Now, we don't know if he means God or him, the evangelist. But either way, this is stark. You are deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Gospel means good news. And if you're not talking about the way that God saves the world through his son, there's no news like that. That's the good news. Evidently, he says, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. That's strong language from an apostle. He was really moved by what has happened in Galatia, and he's about to really tear into them and get things straight. As he does, he's going to talk about and help us understand grace in a way that perhaps we haven't done before. But they needed to hear the gospel of grace once again. I suspect we do too. So he says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? The false teachers who had come into Galatia have been telling the people that Paul was suspect. He wasn't really a genuine apostle of Christ. He defends himself later on. We won't get into that part. Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So this is a pretty strong stuff, and I just want to kind of build out the circumstances so we understand how to apply it. Because what we need to take from this is a renewed understanding and a fuller understanding of grace. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. The gospel is not a fable. It's a revelation from God. Now pick up the next two verses where Paul writes, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. He'll go on to tell the testimony of how he was taught by Christ, how Christ converted him in a very dramatic fashion, and what it all meant to him, and what he has preached since then, that the false teachers have ridiculed in order to take control of these churches. Paul, whose name was still Saul, had gone on to certify that God called him. He was a Jewish Roman Pharisee. Interesting conglomeration of identity here. You didn't find many of these, but he was actually a Pharisee, a teacher of Judaism. And he was representing the council of the Jewish leadership in Jerusalem. When he first encountered Christians, he was sent to disrupt the church, to blot it out on behalf of the Jews who didn't want this teaching about Jesus. Remember, they fought Jesus tooth and nail all the way to his death. So they sent Paul as a representative. He stood by as the first Christian martyr was stoned to death, giving his consent to that. He really hated these Christians. Now he is one. Oh, the irony. What God can do. So he was dispatched as an enforcer to rein in this new movement called The Way. I love that name. Some groups years ago kind of perverted it here in America, but The Way is referenced in the New Testament. And he volunteered. He did not understand the real basis of the church yet, but he was about to on the road to Emmaus. In verses 11 to 26, we won't read that, but he encountered Ananias. First, he was knocked to the ground to get his attention. Christ did it. A light shone. He was turned blind, and then he was led into Emmaus, where he was going to allegedly stop the church. But God caught him, and he changed him instantly. He was credentialed. And he was anointed. God sent Ananias, a converted Jewish Christian, who is there to serve him and to help him through his conversion process. Now, some people are converted. Some people are really converted. They change on a dime. That was Saul, now Paul. Verse 13 says, God set him apart from birth and called him by his grace. Paul's speaking of himself. He's getting ready to make an apologetic for who he is and defend himself against these false teachers who want to move in and just take charge and have power over these people. You know, when you have an assembled group of people who know one another, they are a powerful group, and powerful people will use any means to be in charge of them, to bilk them of their money, and to have them do what they want them to do. So they were after the church. The most important single word with reference to the gospel is grace. Free, unmerited favor of God that forgives our sins, introduces us to a brand new life full of the Holy Spirit, and gives us the promise of eternal life. I mean, these things you can't trade for. These are from God. So coming into a right relationship with God is utterly fantastic. It is awesome to the 10th degree. You know that your sins have offended God, and you know you've been totally forgiven of them. Spiritually, you are now debt-free. Christians in this room, I want to remind you, though the devil and your neighbors will tell you differently, God says, if he has forgiven you, you are fully forgiven. Sins past, present, and future, as you remain in faith before him. You are spiritually debt-free, accepted by God, your maker, based on the words that he spoke. And he is the one to whom we will answer when our life is over. It is awesome what God has done for us through Christ. And it's good to be reminded of that, because that is an essential of what the church is. We are a body of people, body of sinners, who have learned that God forgave us in his Son and have accepted that by faith. We don't understand it completely. We get a lot of it out of the Word, but we're by faith, we say, God, if I believe your word is right, that Jesus took the sins of the world on him, and when he was raised, all that forgiveness came to be. And we are now in him. It's standalone awesome. But to comprehend the reality of grace, it was freely given. It is awesome too. Sinful, fallen human beings have a hard time with receiving things. Have you ever given a gift to someone who said, "Oh, I couldn't take that. Maybe it's too valuable or something. Oh no, I could never take that." Why? Have you thought about that? Why do people do that? Are they afraid that the other person's going to expect a gift back that is just as valuable? Are we just proud and we don't want to be positioned as a receiver of anybody else's? We got it all together. We're fine. We don't need that stuff. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I've done it. You've done it too. But you can't do that to God. God says, this is more than you'll ever get anywhere, and you can't get it anywhere. So take it. Take it or leave it. Grace. Earning is good in its place. We are called to work and to do so that we can support ourselves and our families, and all of that is good, but we are not called to work for our salvation. Jesus did it all. Please say that with me. Jesus did it all. Grace. Grace. Marvelous grace. Salvation, perfect forgiveness, cannot be bought. Galatians 2, I'm going to read a couple of verses there, starting with 16. We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, those who are unsaved, know that a man is not justified, made right, by observing the law. We failed at that. We had the commandments all these years. We, humanity, had the commandments all those centuries. Never could keep them. God was teaching us that we couldn't keep them on our own. But by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ. Not by what we do. Not by returning to God something just as valuable as what he gave to us. Ain't no way any of us could do that. God says, take it. It's a gift. It's grace. In fact, it is deep grace because my son died to provide it. I gave him for you. I loved the world, that is the people, so much that I gave my only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish eternally, but have eternal life. That's the gospel. It's grace. If we insist on paying for our own salvation, we're cooked. There's no way. Never going to happen. The sins have to be atoned for. But God did it for us. I want to read this heavy comment in chapter 3, the first couple of verses. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified for you. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit? It's the gift assuring our salvation. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law? In the words of Flipper, I got to stop using that. Some people don't even know who Flipper is. Now you do. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit in the grace of God, after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain, earn your goal by human effort? Once again, it ain't going to happen. You can't. It's too far gone. Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law? No, but because you believe in what you have heard. That's a heavy comment. Speaks of grace. Grace is fundamental to who we are as a church. If in any way you believe you had something to do with your promise to get to heaven, with your conversion on earth, I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. It's all God. Did you? I know you responded by faith. That's all we've got. We can't earn a thing. You see, it's all about grace. The gift and the sacrifice of Jesus, God's Son, for us. For each of you. Getting the gospel right. The gospel is all about Jesus and his grace. I needed someone to wash my sins away, and now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. My debt he paid upon the cross. He cleansed my soul from all its dross. I thought that no one could all my sins erase. But now, I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt I could never pay. Now, I'm going to go a step further on this, because people who have been redeemed simply by faith in Jesus, who did it all for us and we could not do it ourselves, tend to want to start doing it for themselves. Or they think, legitimately, pay God back. You know, get even. No way. Ain't going to happen. We live our lives in constant state of gratitude. We grace recipients for what Jesus has done for us. We don't grow in our faith. We don't serve God. We don't love Him and love other people because we must. Because He's changed us and allowed us and empowered us to be His people. Thank God. It's all by grace. You can't pay for it and you can't pay Him back for it. So when you do good works as a Christian, which we're called to do, it's not to repay God. It's simply to respond to His grace. Oh, what a great motivation. I don't have to do it. I get to do it. I don't got to. I get to. And it makes no difference in heaven. But it makes a big difference in us, in our gratitude to God for what He's done for us. May we never stop responding to the grace we've been given. The gospel of grace, the sacrifice of Jesus, God's love for you. We need to get and have the gospel right. Right? Right. All about God's love for you. Do you see this? We are all ecstatic recipients of God's grace. We could not effect this outcome ourselves, and we can't pay Him back. So, we simply live our lives in grateful admiration of His grace, never trying to pay Him back, though we always try to please Him. We live our lives in a constant state of gratitude for what He has done for us. I mean, you know, if we think about that more, that's going to free us to be the people He wants us to be. It'll remind us the Spirit of God is in us who have said yes to Jesus. And we'll have all of that power released. And it will be simply easy, not a struggle. We don't grow in our faith. We don't serve God. We don't love Him and love other people because we must. But because we're making amends to God? Like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. Let me make this up. No way. The best way is the grace way. To acknowledge it's all Him. And I'm utterly in His debt. Living in the assurance of God's love, being daily thankful. And to move those same motivations to your relationships with others. What would the church be like if we all, every day and every minute of every day, were feeling thrilled about the grace of God? Well, some people think we'd look like idiots. Okay, that's all right. So thankful to God that everything I do is motivated by grace. Grace. And I never even think that I have to pay God back. It's a gift. And when you get a gift like that, you thank Him for all your life. And frankly, through all eternity. Here's what the grace of life looks like. The grace of life looks like for the person who truly believes and accepts God's offer. Accept what God has done for you, what God has done for you, and is willing to do for you throughout eternity. This is faith. How do I believe? You simply say, God, you said it, I believe it, it's mine. I don't earn it, I don't deserve it, I can never pay you back, but thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm not going to live my life for you because you demand it. I'm going to live my life for you because I love you. And I can't say no. This is pictured in the Christian marriage in Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. You'll never have a problem in your relationship if you love your wife, because that love, like the grace of God, will move her to be to you all that you need. And it works vice versa as well. Perfect relationships erupt from grace. Hallelujah. It's so different from the way the world speaks, isn't it? people in walking in step with the Spirit, loving God out loud, serving Him and serving others with whatever gift or resources God has provided. Everyone in common living this life of love to God, want to be more like Jesus every day, addicted to His Word, infatuated with His love. Wow. I wrote this, but I'm thrilled. I'm preaching to me. We're happy about every opportunity to worship Him. You know, for the Christian who's alive in their faith, you never say, oh, I miss Sunday, I guess we've got to go to church. Oh, come on. Just rid yourself of that. Some people actually think that their duty is to go to church because they're paying God back. Come on, give me a break. Give God a break, for heaven's sake. Here's what the grace life looks like for the person who truly believes and accepts God's offer. Accept what God has done for you and is willing to do for you throughout eternity. This is faith. Say, can it be that easy? Yeah, it can. It is. The hardest part is to keep yourself from feeling like you have to pay him back. Is to stay away from legalism. When I was in a basic training in the Army, there was a, you know, they always pick one of the troops to be the leader of the company of 50 or so. And a man named John Christian, of all names, was selected for ours. Fine guy, just a great guy. I mean, you love him just to know him. So he was kind of in charge under the officers who were working with us. And when the program got tough, you know, like you're holding a rifle and you're low crawling through gravel with live ammunition being shot over your head. You know, that kind of thing. And you think, I can't do this. Or you stop. You say, I give up. He was there to say, you got this. You got it in you. The Spirit of God is our source of power to live a life of thanksgiving before God. Every time we want to give up, every time we say this is too hard, to do what I know you want me to do, the Spirit says, you got this, because I got this, and I'm empowering you. Thank God that He's not only saved us, but He's resourced us with His Spirit. The grace just keeps on coming. We live our lives for Jesus out of sheer gratitude and love and praise to the one who extended to us this most marvelous, amazing grace. This is what it's all about. Run with it. Run with it. Accept it. If you want to be a Christian, just accept what God has done for you by faith. Well, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to promise 10% of my income to the church. I don't have to be a missionary. No. Just accept it by faith. Now, God wants you to live a life that will honor Him. He really does. But He knows He's going to give you the power and the impetus to do that. So He says, just accept it. And I will move in your life and change you from the inside out. You got this in you. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit. Because you're a saved person. I'm going to go on, but I'm not going to. We're going to pick up with this later. But I do want us to understand as a community that it's all about grace. If it isn't, we might as well disband and just join another club. God has saved His people. And we live together as a grateful community before Him. All of our actions inspired by His Spirit in response to His love. What will the church look like that truly does that? I've had an inkling, because I know this church, and you folks are good at it, but I'm here, honestly, I'm here before you today to remind you, this is not you paying God back. You can't do it. This is you living in the fullness of what he provided. Grace. Grace. Marvelous grace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, that makes you seem so distant when we say that, but you are so near. Thank you. Thank you. May we translate this grace into lives that honor you, not because we have to, because we want to. And even the want to is a gift from you. Teach us, O Lord, to rely on the Holy Spirit of God, whom you have planted in us as an assurance of our salvation. Let us respond to him and love and serve and release ourselves into living a life that will glorify you. That will be so satisfying to us. Thank you for doing everything we need. Help us, Lord, to do something you love. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.